coming up on KUCB News. Unalaska's City Council is in favor of an even larger expansion of the public library, and a Sandpoint man is sentenced for distributing drugs. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. Unalaska's public library expansion is going to be even larger than originally planned. The City Council expressed unanimous support last night for a design that adds about 1,200 square feet and $600,000 to the renovation, bringing its total price tag to about $5.2 million. Architect Brian Meisner says the extra money will allow contractors to expand the entire library to the north, and that will allow for a larger community event space.
So if we do that, suddenly we have this large meeting room, which can accommodate 80 comfortably for a presentation. You could do a workshop with 50 and tables, and it's a very functional room.
Councilors, including Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson, endorsed the updated design after learning that reservations for the library's existing conference room increased by 25% between 2017 and 2018.
It's pretty impressive that we have the current meeting room has had 337 uses in the year, and it's an indication that we probably need to have more meeting space.
Councilor James Fitch agreed.
But I do have one question. Are you going to increase the parking lot?
Meisner says Unalaskans have reported very few concerns about the library's 32-car lot during the design process, but architects are studying the issue.
There were lots of comments saying, hey, I've never seen the parking lot full. That said, that big meeting room is going to draw more cars, so we need to be able to park those cars in a way that doesn't impact the senior center.
Meisner says architects are on schedule to finish the final design by October. He says the plan is to put the renovation out to bid next winter so construction can start next spring. But before that process moves further along, Unalaskans have another opportunity to weigh in on the project. Tonight, the library is hosting an open house from 5 until 7 p.m. Architects will spend the first hour discussing the design with community members before making a formal presentation. Librarian Karen Kresch says now is the time to offer feedback.
If you have a great idea or if you think something we're doing is a terrible idea, we want to know now so that we're not trying to change course later down the road.
Another meeting set for tomorrow morning will be the first to focus on the children's room. Kresch says parents and kids are invited to share their ideas at story time from 10 till 11.
During the previous visits, the architects have never been here on a Thursday morning, which is when we have story time. And we've talked about how we may be missing some of that audience because parents of young children might not find it easy to come to an evening meeting, which all of our public meetings have been in the evening. But we want to make sure that we hear from them before we get too far in the planning of what we want to see in the children's room.
Kresch says they want input on the location of the children's computers as well as the arrangement of early E and juvenile J reading materials. But perhaps the biggest topic will be space.
Space is adequate most of the time, but when we get a really large group, it's very cramped. And so we're going to try to make sure that we have a roomy story time space, especially with all of the new babies entering the community in the past couple of years and in the years to come.
Unalaskans can find more information about the library renovation and this week's meeting schedule online at kucb.org. A Sandpoint man was sentenced Monday for distributing drugs and other crimes committed on bail. 23-year-old Christian Anderson Nutt pleaded guilty to a felony charge for distributing methamphetamine and heroin, as well as separate charges for assaults in the fourth degree and driving under the influence. Anderson Nutt was originally arrested in September 2017 as part of a joint narcotics investigation of the Sandpoint Police Department and Alaska Troopers Statewide Drug Enforcement Unit. Investigators say Anderson Nutt was behaving suspiciously in the Penn Air terminal at the Ted Stevens International Airport and suspected he was transporting drugs to Sandpoint. They searched his bag and found more than 50 grams of meth and more than 18 grams of heroin concealed in a Red Bull energy drink can. At the time, the street value of the drugs in Sandpoint was more than $70,000. Anderson Nutt has been sentenced to serve 12 months in prison. Afterwards, he must serve probation, complete drug treatment, and abstain from drugs and alcohol for 2 years. The former CEO of Quintillion, operator of a broadband system linking the Alaska Arctic to an undersea fiber optic cable, has admitted to committing wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. 55-year-old Elizabeth Pierce pleaded guilty to 9 felony counts Monday in federal court for the Southern District of New York. Pierce, CEO of Anchorage-based Quintillion, when she committed the crimes, admitted she duped investigators by forging documents that made it appear as though Quintillion had lucrative service contracts to sell bandwidth. Two firms invested about $250 million in Quintillion based on the fake revenue agreements. Manhattan U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman said in a written statement that Pierce, quote, abused her executive position and is now being held accountable for her crimes, end quote. At her sentence hearing set for May, Pierce faces a maximum of 20 years in prison for the count of wire fraud and a mandatory minimum sentence of 2 years for each of the 8 counts of identity theft, though the final determination is up to the judge. 3 key players in the Pebble debate met Monday for a public discussion on the future of the proposed controversial mine in Bristol Bay. It was a rare chance to hear different perspectives on the project during one event. The discussion was the keynote at the Alaska Forum on the Environment in Anchorage. KDLG's Avery Lill has more.
The Pebble Mine panel featured some familiar faces. Thomas Collier, the CEO of the Pebble Partnership, joined Sheila Newman of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and former state senator and longtime Pebble opponent Rick Halford for a discussion with moderator Maria Downey of KTUU. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is scheduled to release the draft environmental impact statement for the Pebble project on February 22nd. A public comment period will begin March 1st. The draft EIS will analyze potential detrimental and beneficial effects of the Pebble project and develop alternatives to the proposed mine plan. The final EIS will serve as a tool for federal agencies as they decide whether or not to permit the copper, gold, and molybdenum mine in Bristol Bay. Downey explained that the panel aimed to help the audience formulate more effective comments on the draft EIS.
Because an informed Alaskan is a better decision maker.
Representing opposition to the mine, Halford raised several concerns. Among them, he believes the tailings pit lake that would form in the excavated area of the deposit after mining operations are complete would pose a grave risk to Bristol Bay's water quality.
It's got arsenic, cadmium, all the things that were left on the pit walls are now poisoning the water. So it's a lake of poison that backfeeds all the drainages that it drew out of, and those are undefined. The environmental baseline data talks about the geology of the area and how porous it is, how there's exchange between groundwater and surface water.
Halford is skeptical that the proposed mine is economically viable and thinks it's likely that, if permitted, Pebble will later attempt to expand the operation. Halford also asked the Army Corps to consider lengthening the public comment period to at least 6 months. Pebble CEO Tom Collier emphasized that environmental safety is a top priority for Pebble.
When we talk about connectivity of water, we've spent $150 million understanding the hydrology of this area. We know it well, and we know it very carefully. And we are confident that the hydrology of the area will not allow any impact on Upper Tularuk Creek. Notwithstanding the fact that there is a hydrological connection there at one point.
He pointed out that the proposed mine is smaller than initially planned and that if Pebble were to expand the project, it would need to go through an additional permitting process. Sheila Newman is the Regulatory Division Deputy Chief with the Army Corps Alaska District. She encouraged people who want to comment on the draft EIS to familiarize themselves with the Corps website for the Pebble EIS process.
All of the information here is everything that we, the Corps of Engineers, has looked at in the review of this draft environmental impact statement. So if we've received it and used it in the review, it's already on that site and has been for months and months and months. The applicant's permit application has been on that website for over a year for folks to take a look at it.
During the 90-day comment period, people will be able to submit comments online, by mail, or in person at meetings that the Army Corps plans to hold. The agency estimates it will release the final EIS in early 2020. With help from Alaska Public Media's Ann Hillman, I'm Avery Lill in Dillingham.
Alaska's schools, universities, healthcare programs, and ferry system all would see huge spending cuts under a new budget proposed this morning by Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy. The spending plan would overhaul major government functions and eliminate specific programs and services. Dunleavy says the cuts are needed to balance the state budget while paying out larger permanent fund dividend checks under a historical legal formula.
I'm going to be bold here for a moment. I think everybody in this room knows we have to get our fiscal house in order. And I think everybody in this room and in the state realizes that there's going to be sacrifices across the board, that this has gone on too long and that it's got to stop.
The proposals were released Wednesday morning, and state lawmakers and budget experts were still piecing through them by midday. One of the big takeaways is a 25% cut to Alaska's per-student school spending, a reduction of $280 million. The proposal would cut state unrestricted general fund spending on its university system nearly in half, from $350 million to $195 million. Dunleavy also wants major reductions in spending on Medicaid, the state federal health care program for low-income Alaskans, and he's proposing big cuts to state ferries and the potential to privatize parts of it. One way Dunleavy would raise more money for the state? Take it from municipalities. He's proposing to eliminate the ability of municipalities to levy property taxes on oil and gas infrastructure. That tax revenue would flow to the state instead. Dunleavy's budget proposal is only the first in a long legislative process. The plan now goes before the House and the Senate, which have the power to add money back. And that's the news from On Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.